And how important it was that he did so. He must, if he be a love offering to the Father, if this be a gift that has meaning, it must be voluntary. Today we come to what is known as the vicarious sufferings of our Lord. That means he died not for himself, but for us, in our place, in our stead. There's another word that I think it's easier to grasp, and it's the word substitution. Our Lord Jesus died on that cross as our substitute. And I want to simply say to you today, it's the only way to understand what took place at Calvary.
And welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. We're on the air again to bring you the gospel of our Lord Jesus. And I trust that you'll be blessed and helped as we come to the message of the gospel today. So let's begin with our Bible reading from Matthew 13, verse 54. When he was come into his own country, he taught them in their own synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, "Whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brethren, James and Joses and Simon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things?" And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, "A prophet is not without honor save in his own country and in his own house. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief." The hometown of the Lord Jesus was Nazareth. It was an obscure and hidden village in the northern hills of Judea. It was a place of little excitement where the Lord could grow up into manhood, with little interference from the political centers of power and learning. A synagogue was the center of religious life, where the people learned the scriptures and met with their fellow Jews. Into this synagogue in Nazareth, the Lord entered after he had commenced his earthly ministry and assumed the office of teacher. But his teaching was with such power and authority that the people of Nazareth were astonished. They began to quiz each other. "Is this not Jesus, the son, the carpenter? We know his mother, Mary. We know his brothers, James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas. And we know his sisters, too. They are all local Nazarenes. This cannot be, that he can come back to town with all this learning. Where did he get it? Is this genuine? And of course it's off track from the traditional low-key teaching of our regular teachers, who made no fuss about such points of religion." Such were the comments of these local Nazarenes. So great was their questioning and quizzing that they were offended in him. That is what Matthew records in his gospel. They were scandalized. For a local boy to impose himself upon his neighbors and friends like this and expect them to submit to his higher and heavenly views was to them overkill. They were having none of it. Such was this built-in prejudice against local growing teaching that it gave birth to a great maxim laid down by our Lord: "A prophet is not without honor save in his own country and in his own house." The most difficult place on earth for a preacher is next door to his family home. The prejudice of family history and the contempt of familiarity will pull the rug from under the preacher's feet. So much so that the Lord did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. That is the conclusion of the matter given by Matthew. It all boiled down to unbelief. The hardness of men's hearts, the resistance to the truth found a vent in this local grown boy syndrome. They could not abide being taught by one of their own sons. The reality was that they did not want to be taught at all. Their hearts were full of unbelief. That is the real cause of opposition to the truth in every case. Unbelief is endemic in the hearts of men, and it will find excuse after excuse on why not to follow after the Lord. Of course, it means that the Lord will not be accepted, and His grace will not be known. His love will not flow to your soul, and all that Christ came into the world to do for sinners is lost to you. Unbelief is a murderer. It will kill off your soul. It will plunge you into eternal darkness and eternal misery because you will not trust in the mercy of the Savior. Unbelief is a thief. It will strip away every ounce of reason that you may have. It will turn away every opportunity to know the goodness of the Lord. You may be asking, but how can I know if I am being deceived by unbelief? The test is this. Are you offended at the Lord? Are you driven away from Him or drawn to Him? These people at Nazareth were scandalized at His presence and teaching. They were ashamed of Him. You will know if this is true in your heart. This is a serious matter and a real test of your saving interest in the Lord. Hear what the Lord said on this. For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. Therefore, repent of unbelief. Confess that you have been ashamed of the Lord Jesus and turn to Him today. He will forgive. He did not many mighty works in Nazareth. That implies that He did some mighty works. There were those who did believe and who did receive His grace and love. And yes, you too can enjoy the Lord's full salvation if you will believe and rejoice in His grace to you. Oh, today, believe and receive the message of the gospel. Let's unite in prayer. Let's ask the Lord to deal with the unbelief that may be in hearts. O God, our Father, we thank Thee today for this faithful record by Matthew of our Lord's ministry in the town of Nazareth, the place where our Savior grew up, the place of His boyhood, the place of His first attempts in the carpenter's shop. And yet when He returned to teach, what a poor reception. O God, I pray Thou wilt forgive men who have responded and been ashamed of the Lord Jesus. O God, forgive us wherein we have denied Thee. And Lord, we confess that this is nothing but unbelief. Unbelief that refuses and rejects to submit to the grace and the goodness of the Lord Jesus. I pray today that Thou wilt have great mercy, and that Thou wilt show Thy tender loving kindness in drawing the veil of blindness from the hearts of men and cause the light to shine in. We pray that it will please Thee to do many mighty works, even through this radio broadcast, to the hearts of men, to cause them to know the Lord and be saved. We pray for Thy loving kindness and not Thy wrath. We pray for Thy favor and Thy blessing. We ask, O God, that Thou wilt turn the hearts of men to Thyself. Bless every home, every family. Bless the work and labor of parents and those that are seeking to lead others into the truth, that they may be owned and blessed of Thee and used of Thee day by day. And now let Thy grace fall upon us. Let this be a day of Thy mercy. And so we look to Thee for Thy help and blessing. We plead and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
If I were an artist with heaven-born skill, a picture I'd paint for thee. A picture of Christ on that faraway hill, on the cross of Calvary. The crown of thorns, the agony, the side that was pierced for you and for me. And I'd place it where all of the world might see how he suffered for sinful man. If I had the words at my tongue's command, a wonderful story I'd tell of Jesus now living at God's right hand, triumphant o'er death and hell. I'd tell how he conquered the grave long ago, how he rose all victorious o'er sin and its woe. Oh, this wonderful story I want all who Jesus, my Savior, lived. If I had the voice of an angel from heaven, I'd sing as the years on would roll the sweetest song that to men e'er was given, Christ Jesus redeemed my soul. I'd sing it over and over again, till heaven re-echoed the beautiful strain, and the whole wide, wide world caught up the refrain. Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. We're on the air again to bring you the gospel of the Lord Jesus, and I trust that you've been blessed and helped through this devotional and hymn by Al Smith. We continue to Let the Bible Speak on the vicarious sufferings of the Lord Jesus. That means the Lord Jesus died not for himself, but for others, for his own elect, for his own people. And I trust that today that you will stay tuned with us as we open our Bible here at the book of Isaiah to look into these precious verses where it says that the Lord Jesus was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Well, may the Lord bless you through his word today. From the pulpit of our Free Presbyterian Church, we want to let the Bible speak on the vicarious sufferings of the Lord Jesus. That means he died as your substitute in your place to take your sins away, to bear your penalty. Stay tuned with us here as we let the Bible speak today.
I wonder, did you notice that in this chapter, Isaiah 53, the word Jesus never appears once. The word Messiah never appears once. We are totally dependent upon pronouns to understand who this person is. This person who was wounded for our transgressions, who was bruised for our iniquities. This person who was beaten and by whose stripes we are healed. Nevertheless, Philip the evangelist had absolutely no problem when he was expounding to the Ethiopian in the chariot who was reading this chapter that this is about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. He preached unto him Jesus. Chapter 53 is chopped up by the translators and those who have put God's word into the form that we have it in our authorized version. But really, this section begins in verse 13 of the previous chapter, chapter 52. And the idea of the person spoken of simply by he, repeatedly in chapter 53, is referred to in chapter 52, 13 as God's servant. We are to behold my servant, he says. And from chapter 52, verse 13, there follows verse after verse after verse, he shall, he, it's all about him. It's all about this servant. Now, we have a very clear description in this chapter of the sufferings of this person. He suffered in two ways, at the hands of men and then at the hand of God. If you look at verse 3, you'll notice that he was despised and rejected of men. And then if you look at verse 4, at the end of the verse, we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God. There are two parts to our Lord's sufferings. What man did to him and what God the Father did to him while he was on that cross. It is relatively easy to preach on what man did to our Lord Jesus. We could go through the history as presented in the Gospels, and we could glean from other sources of history. We could put together a picture of the physical sufferings of our Lord. But it is much more difficult to grasp, much more difficult to preach what God did to his son while he was on that cross. Smitten of God. Or that verse down in verse 10. It pleased the Lord, Jehovah, to bruise him. So while on that cross, God was causing his son to endure sufferings unimaginable, unfathomable to the human mind. And as I say, it's so vast, how can we even begin to grasp it? Never mind, preach it. Now, last week we emphasized the willingness, the voluntary nature of our Lord's sufferings. He went as a lamb to the slaughter, silent. no resistance. He went willingly to the cross. And how important it was that he did so. He must, if he be a love offering to the Father, if this be a gift that has meaning, it must be voluntary. Today we come to what is known as the vicarious sufferings of our Lord. That means he died not for himself, but for us, in our place, in our stead. There's another word that I think it's easier to grasp, and it's the word substitution. Our Lord Jesus died on that cross as our substitute. And I want to simply say to you today, it's the only way to understand what took place at Calvary, that Christ died for us in our place. It's the only way to grasp that God took pleasure in inflicting pain in the body and soul of his own Son. That there was a greater purpose. And if you're a Christian today, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus today, you are that purpose for whom Christ died. So we come to this doctrine of substitution. Christ died in our place. I have 4 points I want to make on this. Substitution is the doctrine of the cross. And I'll take that if you will join me here in chapter 53 and verse 4. And ask you to note the word surely. Surely he hath borne our griefs. Now the word surely is like verily. It is certainly, it's the certainty of the matter. There is no other way of looking at it. It's the absolute certainty of the issue. Isaiah was dogmatic about it. Surely, he hath borne our griefs. There is no other view of the cross that holds water. Every other idea is like dandelion fluff. Nice idea, but it doesn't stand up to the test of doctrine. Men have brought their fanciful and flowery ideas to the matter of the Son of God dying on a Roman gibbet. They have answered the why in various ways. But Isaiah comes and he says, surely, certainly, he hath borne our griefs. He has found the answer. And the answer is that Christ died for us, our griefs, our iniquities, in our place, for our sorrows. Now, some of the ideas of men, I'll just rattle through them for a minute just to show you how ridiculous they are. One is that Calvary is merely a demonstration or protest against Rome. And our Lord Jesus was a Jew, and that he despised the Jew, the Roman system, and that his attempt was to overthrow Rome, and thereby he went to the cross, ended up dying on a Roman gibbet to defy the occupation of Rome. If that's the case, it meant that he failed. Another reason that is given out is that our Lord on that cross merely sought to reform and purify Judaism. And he went to the cross to show a horror for sin and impurity, and it was a reformation attempt. Another is that our Lord Jesus was like Gandhi, a silent sufferer, trying to have moral influence upon the minds of men by willing to die for a cause to persuade men of its value and importance. And they would look up to him from then on as a worthy leader. Another, that this was a demonstration of selfless denial, the ultimate self-sacrifice in self-denial. and thereby to gain a higher reward. But Isaiah says, and I want to bring you back to the doctrine, the dogmatic position of Scripture and of this inspired prophet, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. The only sensible, the only biblical reason is that he suffered for his people, for us, for our sins. It was an instead of me sacrifice in the person of the Lord Jesus on that cross. And somehow, somewhere in that transaction between God and the Son, there was a transfer. A transfer of my sins to the body of the Lord Jesus. And a transfer of God's wrath that should have fallen upon me, but that fell upon the Lord Jesus. He bore our griefs. He carried our sorrows. This is the doctrine of the cross. And this is what you must grasp if you will ever gain any benefit from the message of Calvary. You must sweep away every other idea of the meaning of that cross. That our Lord Jesus died for no other reason than as a substitute in your place. And until you come to that position as a sinner guilty before God, and you recognize the value of that death of Christ, and you say, Jesus died there in my place, you've missed the message of the cross. And so that's the doctrine of the cross.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. This is Ian Gallagher. Thank you for being a part of the program, and I trust that the Lord has already spoken and ministered to your heart. If I can be of any personal help, or if you would like to request a CD of this message, or perhaps have some direction on how you can hear this message again on our website, please feel free to be in touch with us here. Our burden is to take God's word, to comfort the hearts of God's people, to encourage those who are seeking to live for the Lord Jesus, and of course to reach men with the message of the gospel. And our messages are from the Bible, from the pulpit of our church here in Cloverdale. We take the sermons of our pulpit ministry and seek to air them day by day on this station, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., and also our half-hour church service on Sunday mornings, 10 a.m. on this station. And so I hope that you'll be a regular listener. I hope that you will pray much, stand with us here as we let the Bible speak week by week. Now, our church is the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. It's on the corner of 188th Street and 58th Avenue, two blocks north of Number 10 Highway. We would love to have you along at our church services. Sunday school hour, 9:30 for all ages, 10:30 morning service, and 6 p.m. our evening preaching service. We would love to have you here at the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. Come along, join with us for a service, and introduce yourself. We look forward to meeting you and to hear from you. Also, you can join our Victoria Church. We'll give you information of that if you call us on our number here, 604-576-1091, or go to our website, www.cloverdalefpc.ca. And again, join us, please, again, as we let the Bible speak.